Turn it up, Sam.
Was resting a little bit today, wasn't sure. It's up very early. I'd like to make it spiritual, but it was child-related, and I just stayed up and wrestled with some things. And of course, wrestled with myself, and the Spirit of God dealing with me. And I'm thankful for that time. I'm thankful for what the Lord's done and helping. Wanted to probably about 10 after 5, the Lord just gave me some direction for what we needed tonight. And so we'll just trust Him and believe His word. If you're tired, and I know it's been a long week for some, for many, but if you would, I'd prefer if you need to sleep, wait till the second hour. This hour, please. The sleepy hour is always that 1 o'clock service. You know, we load up on carbs and sugars, and you know, about an hour after we eat, everybody just hits the floor. So this shouldn't be quite as sleepy for us. I'm just gonna preach what I believe. Lord, I believe, shown me some things. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, and look at this little statement right here. We've talked about this much this week. I am. Find that interesting in lieu of what we preach concerning the great I am of the word of God. I am that I am. The prince of Tyrus in his heart says, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit. Thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. There's two distinct persons that the passage here deals with. It deals with the prince of Tyrus. It deals with the king of Tyrus. I find it interesting that we know the prince of peace. He was also a king of Salem. Everything that God does, Satan mimics. He said, I will be like the Most High God. In the book of Revelation, you don't have to turn there. But we see in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And as the beast I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. We learn later on in the book of Revelation that that great dragon is Satan. We see, of course, in Ezekiel 28, the king of Tyrus was that anointed cherub which fell. We know, according to the word of God, that he fell because of his heart, He was perfect in all his ways from the day that how was created until iniquity was found in thee. And so he has a seat for the beast. He's going to give him all power and authority that he has upon this earth. Now, the reason that I'm going to go ahead and go to 2 Thessalonians is I believe that what we're dealing with here, and the Prince of Tyrus, as we see him, as there's a king of Tyrus, there's a prince.
Right.
The Prince of Tyrus, I believe, is the beast. I believe we call him the Antichrist, although that term does not exist biblically. He is called in 2 Thessalonians the man of sin, son of perdition, that wicked. He knows God, yet he rejects God, says, I will be like the Most High God. And so in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul writes to the church, says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and again, twofold event, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And by the way, we are, I believe, in that falling away. The stage is being set. There's more iniquity on this earth, probably of any time in history since the days of Noah. We know as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't think we're in Noah's day yet, but I believe we're getting really close. Iniquity abounds, sin abounds. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many has waxed cold. That spirit of Antichrist that John spake of has infiltrated every sector of our lives. You and I are under its influence. We live in this world that is influenced by the spirit of Antichrist. We see religion greatly infiltrated by that spirit of Antichrist. Mm-hmm. I will be like the Most High God. Men become their own gods.
Yes.
They worship themselves. They worship images. They worship idols. We also see not only religion, we see the banking system. The governments are infiltrated by the spirit of Antichrist. So it's not a shock to us. This isn't some kind of new revelation. John said 2,000 years ago, the spirit of Antichrist was in the world then. The spirit of Antichrist still is in the world today. It's a great influence on lives. What happens at the time someone's a child? The spirit of Antichrist tries to take control of them through influence. And listen, it's not just the controllable things. It's things out of our control. The advertising, the media, no matter what form of media, the banking, the government, when you go to buy, to sell, to trade, all of those things have an influence on us. I have, and I do mean friends. I got odd friends. Some of you know that. I'm your friend. I have friends that were telling me that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. And I've not seen anybody yet that had 666 vaccinated into their forehead, but that's one man, and he said the mark of the beast, he told me, he's my friend, he's odd, he said the mark of the beast is that cell phone in your hand right there. And David Vernon asked him one time, he said, do you really think people would be going to the tribulation period with cell phones strapped on their forehead that says 666? That's not the day we're in today. We're in the day of the spirit of Antichrist. He doth already work. He is working in the world. We're not going to fight it. We're not going to battle him. What we're going to do is we're going to believe the word of God. We're trying to live as God wants us to live, soberly, righteously, godly, where? In this present world. The education system is infiltrated with that spirit. Most pronounced and predominant political organizations are infiltrated by it. Why? Because people are just inundated. From the time they're infants, they're inundated with the mindset, the thinking, the reason, the pragmatic understanding of that spirit of Antichrist, which is in the world today. So what is our job as a believer? It's to try to unravel that way of thinking with the Word of God and teach them something contrary to everything they've ever believed in their life.
Yeah, praise God.
One of the young men here, I won't say who, it's quite a few young men, don't try to guess, but he came to me recently and he said, we talked about serving two masters, lest you love one, hate the other. And he said, along these lines, I don't want to quote wrong, but along these lines, he said, well, I realize if I don't love God, he said, I understand now that I do hate God. He said, but what it is, I hate God because God is trying to, I believe he said, straighten me out. And I said, that's exactly right. Why? Because our way of thinking is so corrupted. Our mindset is so corrupt. I'm talking about the saints of God today. You just say amen on that. It's so corrupted by influence, by outside ideals and opinions and thoughts contrary to the Word of God. That's why God continually is correcting us. Those of you that are lost, you do not have the mind of Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is running your thinking. He's influenced where our mind is towards worldly things like what? Gain, profit, the love of money. Because thou hast great riches, thine heart is lifted up. So the Lord stands contrary to those things. And so he tells us here that we're not going to be soon shaken in these things, but they're coming falling away first. Where's that falling away going to be? He's writing to the church. I believe it'll be a great falling away in the church. They'll soon embrace Antichrist Bibles, Antichrist music, sound familiar? Antichrist theology, Antichrist schools, Antichrist dress, Antichrist practice, Antichrist worship. And I understand the thinking of many. I try to be reasonable about these things, but I've long ago shaken off the mindset of a 45-minute service, one and done. We have I hate to call it a church, we have a white building with a steeple on it that we go by on Sunday mornings when we're heading to Blaine, and they announce on their sign an 8:30 service, and we usually go by 9:15, sometimes 9:12, since children 9:18. And so if it's 9:18, we're going pretty fast, but we see them already on the church steps, the five or six people that go there, and they're all talking outside the building. Why? Because they've had their 40 minutes a week, and their religion has satisfied them. They've performed their religious obligation for the week, and they're satisfied with just this little bit of what they would call church. And then they can go live the rest of their life, and that is part of that great falling away. Why? Because I've watched in this generation, instead of more church, churches have less church. I've watched them pare away services, cut away Wednesdays, cut away Sundays. Yeah. I've had pastors tell me, we've never had a special service. I know an evangelist that he holds one-day revivals. It's kind of his thing. We'll have a revival Sunday, one-day revival. And I'm going, it took Lazarus 4 days. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Amen. And so that's the mindset that's crept in because of the great falling away. Why? Because everything else matters before God. Family comes before God. Our business comes before God. Our money certainly comes before God. But then even more than that, our mind, our thinking is ahead of God. What we are looking for. And by the way, if you ask everybody in this room, what is your opinion of what the church ought to be? You'd probably get 50 different answers. But you know, God has one opinion of what the church is.
Uh-huh.
It's the pillar and ground of the truth.
Yeah. Right.
That's what the church is. Now, there's a purpose to the church. If I ask what the purpose, probably get 50 different answers. There's one purpose to the church. And God has purposed it upon the whole earth. And so now, we begin to see that great falling away because there are those contrary to Scripture by ideals, by practice, by reasoning, by intellectual thinking, contrary to God. But when this takes place, this is what he said in verse 3, and that man of sin be revealed. Sometime in this great falling away, that man of sin will be revealed. the son of perdition. Now, we know according to Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, we know that those of us that are saved by the good grace of God will not be here for that revelation. We'll see the great falling away. I believe that. I believe we've been seeing it for 2,000 years. There is a group, it's accelerating to now where it's visible. It's an obvious falling away. It is a great falling away. But that man of sin is about to be revealed. The Word of God said this: who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So everything that God is doing, he's contrary to it. He opposeth it, and he exalteth himself above it. And by the way, that's one of the marks of the spirit of truth, spirit of error, spirit of Antichrist also. The mark of the spirit of error is we see men teaching in error contrary to the word of God against Jesus Christ, yet exalting themselves above God. The spirit of Antichrist is the doctrine that causes that to take place. They say, I know, I have learning, I have education, I have something, and it's always something new or something unique or something special. I have the key. You ever see those signs, billboards, flyers in the mail? You're concerned about the end of days. You're concerned about last times, you know, and we're going to have a prophecy conference. And I personally don't normally attend prophecy conferences. I don't preach prophecy conferences, although they're big money for a lot of evangelists because people love end times prophecy. And I've heard some end times prophecy. It's pretty far out there because it's strayed far from the word of God. And it was good preaching. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was exciting. It just wasn't Bible. I've heard descriptions of heaven that were just amazing. I mean, horses racing up and down the streets, audio like that, amen. And, I mean, just all these things. Now, Brother Herbert said, we know because it's going to be Canaan land. He said they're going to have grapes the size of volleyballs. And he said, you'll be able to sled down a hill in a grape. I never heard that from Brother Herbert, but he just... So me being me, I asked him later, I said, is it going to be snow in heaven, Brother Herbert? He said, get out of here. Amen. So he's joking, of course, but many are not. Why? They've exalted themselves above God. That man of sin, when he's revealed, is going to exalt himself above God. But then the Word of God tells us this in this. Remember not that when I was with you, I got ahead of myself a little bit. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, now notice what we read in Revelation, what we read also in Ezekiel, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And every knee will bow to him. And everyone has heard the gospel, it's rejected the gospel, will worship him.
That's right.
And will bow the knee to him. And they'll say, that is God. For the word of God tells us, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Today, as I speak, at this exact moment, there is something withholding the man of sin being revealed.
That's
right. Can I say that? It's in the mercy of God.
Amen.
That he withholdeth. Mm-hmm. Can I say it on this wise? He is holding back the powers of hell from off of this earth. Everything is pushing that way. Everything is pointed that way. Everything is running wide open, full steam ahead to that point in time, to that date in history. Everything is on its way. Everything of this earth, everything of this world, everything that is Antichrist is full steam ahead. But there is one factor. He that letteth will let. Until he be taken out of the way. Your pastor, Brother John, I know I've heard him preach it, and I absolutely agree. He that letteth is letting men depart from iniquity. He's the only reason we can depart from iniquity. Why? Because he that letteth is also reproving the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So everything's pushing. Everything's pressing. Men are waxing worse and worse. Iniquity abounds. The love of many has waxed cold. But there's he that withholdeth. And he's withholding sin. He's withholding the man of sin that he might be revealed in his time. And by the way, it will be his time because God said it would be his time.
Amen.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, what is that mystery of iniquity? That mystery Paul speaks of, a mystery, of course, is a truth that's not yet been explained. This is a truth that has never been revealed to man. It's a mystery that's been hid in God, and God has given the Apostle Paul revelation to speak to us through the Holy Ghost, and he's revealing that mystery of iniquity doth already work 2,000 years ago. It's always been heading this way. It's always been pushing this way. There's always been an attempt for one world religion, one world nationality, one world banking, one man control. It's always been pushing that way. It's just now it's getting worse and it's getting worse and men are waxing worse. But God is still withholding. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, and by the way, there's his name, that wicked,
that's right,
shall be revealed. And where's he going to be revealed? In the temple of God, in the seat of God, as God. And men will worship him. And men will sing songs of him. And men will praise him. Why? He says, I am the Most High God. I am as God. He'll be a God to them. He'll feed them. He'll clothe them. They'll buy, sell, and trade under his name. Now it's a false peace. But he'll bring a false. Jesus Christ, we know, is the bringer of peace, and he mimics Christ. He brings a peace to this earth. It's enough of a peace that men are satisfied with it. Men are contented with it. Men say, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Messiah. He's the one we'll worship. He's the one we'll bow the knee to. The wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power. Now, I want you to notice that word, all power. You'll not resist him. You'll not fight him. You'll not go against him. All power and signs. You read the book of Revelation, you'll see the signs. Marvelous signs he will perform. And men will say, this is God. This is the one we're looking for. This is he of whom the NIV speaks. This is he of whom my New King James speaks. This is he of whom my Antichrist book speaks. And they'll say, he's the one we've read about. He's the one we know. Those in King James churches that reject the word of God have heard the truth of the gospel and heard the truth of Jesus Christ will be damned, and they too will say he is the one we heard about. They'll see the signs. He'll have all power. And the word of God says, and lying wonders. Why? He's going to do wonders as God. But it's a lie. Look at those frogs. And I'm not going to get into that. Brother John's preaching Revelation. Do a far better job than I. Far better job than I. But you look at those frogs that come out. And I was just reading that just the other day. What a lying wonder. And men will say, this is God. This is a work of God. Look what God has done for us. But he'll be that man of sin, that son of perdition, that wicked. Now listen, don't get hung up on me on this. I'm not criticizing, I'm not correcting. I'm not even correcting. I'm just making a statement. I preached in the church for many, many years. Certain words you kind of weren't allowed to say. I get in trouble from time to time, accidentally saying things, so I just learned not to say things. Every once in a while I'd stand my ground, but that's okay. They say, well, Trinity's not in the Bible. We don't want you to say Trinity. I learned it's the Godhead. So I'd go there because the objector that kind of caused the problem there, I'd deal with what the Godhead was and who the Godhead and how the fullness of the Godhead was in Christ Jesus. So I just kind of adapted my linguistics and I'll use the term Godhead. They said, you're not to use the word Trinity, so we use the term Godhead. No other words. You can't use this word, can't use this word, can't use this word. Well, the word of God calls him, that man of sin, son of perdition, calls him that wicked. So I learned, he's that wicked. That's who he is. Now the word of God tells us this, and with all deceivableness, and again, that word all is there. There's no deceivableness of unrighteousness he cannot perform. He will deceive men. They're on this side of eternity would swear they'd never be deceived. You say, how can he do that? He's doing it now. There's nothing new to him.
That's right.
He's deceiving men now, and I mean people steeped in religion. He sold them a bill of goods. He sold them the greatest lie ever told. There'll be nothing for him, but there'll be no restraint. Now there's a withholding. Now there's a letting. But when he comes and he is given all power, he'll have all deceivableness of unrighteousness. No man will be able to withstand his deceit. Why? Because it's given to him. It's his. He will rule the earth. But God tells us this of that man of sin. With all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And notice this next statement. Because they received not the love of the truth. That they, this big word, might be saved. Now God is not willing that you perish. It's the will of God for all men to be saved. So why is that word might there? Because again, in the midst of all of this, we see another will. What is that will? Here's the truth. Here's the love of the truth. And by the way, God manifests that through preaching. Preaching is the love of the truth. Will you? Won't you? I'll believe it. Or you'll be deceived. It's not a matter of just not knowing, not understanding. It's a matter of being deceived. Here's the love of the truth. Why won't I? Because that deceit, all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. The love of the truth is manifest because it's Jesus Christ. It's manifest through preaching. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To those of us that are saved, it is the power of God. It's manifest the preaching of the word of God. But the choice is still ours. For he said this, that they might be saved, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You say, why is that word should there? Because if you don't believe the lie, and you love to believe the love of the truth, you'll never perish. But when you believe the lie, you'll perish. Everything in this life outside of the Word of God is pushing at high speed to this place. We're so intertwined. I don't know if any of you remember the book. It was a holiness book written in the 60s, might have been the 50s. It was Henry and the Great Society. I don't know if anybody ever read that book. It's the story of Henry. He starts on, he has a little farm, some cows, chickens, pigs, some crops. And every evening his family goes up on the hill. And they watch the sunset when the weather was nice. They'd fish in the pond. They get up early in the morning, start the cycle over again. And in the story of Henry and the Great Society, the first thing that came to Henry's house one day, there's a man out front putting poles in the ground with electrical wires. And they said, "Sir, would you like to have electricity?" He said, "Well, what is electricity?" And they said, "Well, it'll put lights in your house." And Henry said, "Well, that sounds like a marvelous thing. We'd love electricity." So they put electricity in Henry's house. You know what happens after electricity comes, don't you? There's a refrigerator salesman. And a freezer salesman. And a washing machine salesman. And a vacuum salesman. So then what happens? All of a sudden, Henry has this thing called debt. And I love the chapter. I think it's chapter 4. I love chapter 4. When all of a sudden there's a knock on the door and there's a fellow standing there and he says to the wife, "Ma'am, we have a new invention that will help you stay in touch with your loved ones. It's called the telephone." And I like what the author wrote. And he said, and she said, "We'd love a telephone." And she was damned. Amen. I'm just going to say amen on that. Holiness writer, years ago. Henry comes home, the dishes aren't done, you may have a dishwasher, refrigerator's at full, the stove's not hot, no meal ready. Why? His wife's on the telephone. And then one day they come down the road and they said, "You know, we're going to pave your road, sir. We'd like to buy one of your fields to help pave the road. Here's some money." Henry said, "Well, that's great." But then they got a paved road, so he said, "We need an automobile." So he took the road that they used to buy his field, and he used that money and went and bought an automobile. But then he found out that automobile needed gas. It wasn't in the budget, because by now they're paying an electric bill, they're paying an appliance bill, they're paying car insurance, an automobile. Is everybody following me okay?
Yeah.
Here's the point. Nowhere in that story could Henry get out of it. Technology ran past him. It shot past him. He had to keep up. Where do you buy a house today without electricity? You buy an old Amish house up here, but even they have washing machines, and most of them have cell phones. And finally, the story goes on, and Henry loses the farm. He and his wife live in an apartment, and they can't even see the sunset from their apartment. And there's a little park up the road, and they try to go up there in the evenings, but Henry gets mugged and loses the little bit of money he does have. The son comes home with tattoos, smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, because he met some cool kids in town. Finally, the story ends, and it goes on. I won't get into the whole thing. It goes on and on. Finally, Henry just dies of all the stress of life. And the story is he finally sees his last sunset. His wife buries him under the old oak tree. They used to sit in and watch the sunset when life was good. It's pushing. But he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. God is withholding the evil that's coming.
That's right.
So what do? We live soberly,
yes,
righteously, and godly in this present world. We have a dishwasher. She'll be four in a couple of weeks. No, she, my mom always joked about having three belt-driven dishwashers, but that's a whole other story. We have a stove, microwave, a car, car insurance, house insurance, fire insurance, fire monitoring, water monitoring. When you travel, you got all kinds of things going on. Listen, we got public sewer, public water. We got the internet and we got bills galore. But it doesn't have to keep me from God.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't have to hinder my walk with God. It's no limit to God. See, a lot of people blame all these things that are pushing and pressing. That's what's causing the problem. That's why men are the way they are. This is what's destroying our society. This is what's destroying our culture. This is what's destroying our families. No, what's destroying our families is there's no love of the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That men will not receive the truth.
Yeah.
For this cause, verse 11, God shall send them strong delusions. A delusion, singular, excuse me. That they should believe a lie. They'll say, there he is. There's Jesus Christ. There's our Savior. And it'll be the man of sin, that son of perdition, the betrayer of Christ. And they'll say, he is God. He is our God. And then embrace him as their God. Why? Because they received that strong delusion from the Lord. Why? They would not receive the love of the truth. When they could, they would not. And God sends that strong delusion. They believe that lie. And here's what the Word of God says. I want you to notice this wording real careful. God sends it to them for this purpose, that they all might be damned. Why? Because when you could, you would not.
Come on.
Blame everything. Blame everybody. Mm-hmm. Blame others. But if you won't receive the truth, you'll be damned. Mm-hmm. Who believe not the truth, strong words from the Lord. There's a contrast here. We talk about love and hate. I know some people choke on that. They don't want to say they hate God. But if you love and keep his commandments, they had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's no gray area.
Right.
Love, hate. Belief, pleasure. I don't care if it's your pornography, your addictions,
right,
your booze, your covetousness, your adulteries, your fornications. Lust of the flesh, pleasure. What's contrast? Believe the truth.
Amen.
There's no gray area, there's nothing in between. Pleasure and unrighteousness, believe the truth. Love God, hate God. God drew that contrast, not this preacher. God's going to damn them because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Just as in Noah's day, men are eating and drinking, making merry. What did God do? He damned them because of pleasure in unrighteousness. The man of God preached the word of God. Did they believe? They would not believe. They watched 120 years while he built that ark, mocking, scoffing, laughing, most likely. Maybe some asking, I don't know. Men had got to the point with God. God said, I'm going to damn them because they would not believe the truth. And there's coming a day, I believe, in my generation to come. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. But there's a day when this is all going to cease. And listen, I'm not being theatrical. I'm not being foolish. But if this were the last church service you sat in, if this were the last church service I ever sat in, will you be damned? Or will you believe the truth? Father, I want to thank you for the Word of God. I want to thank you for the truth of the Word of God. I pray, Lord God, that you would take that truth, Lord, you would just reveal to us, Father, blaming others, passing the buck. You say it's me, okay.